We greet you in the name of Jesus Christ as we welcome you to this Words of Life program. Each week, we present a gospel program in order to tell you and others about Jesus. We know that everyone faces a variety of temptations. Today, Brother David Johnson will discuss Matthew chapter 4, the first 11 verses, as he shares a sermon entitled, To Be Tempted. Before the sermon, we will share worship in song. Thank you, Father, for your blessings that you give us and for the salvation that is through Jesus. We are told about your blessings in your holy word. Please bless each of our listeners with the convictions, health, and peace that are needed. We also request that you will be with each person who is serving you in preaching, teaching, and living. Especially be with the persecuted, protect them, and give them your peace. And thank you for listening to us, and please help us to be ready to meet Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Have thy own way, O Lord. Have thy own way. Thou art.
To Be Tempted is the title of Brother Johnson's sermon for today.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life broadcasts as we share and witness to the wonderful God of the universe. The title for the lesson is To Be Tempted, and our text is taken from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Please listen to the Word of God. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. This is the word of God. May he add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Temptation to sin is a universal weakness for all mankind. Even Jesus of Nazareth was repeatedly and sorely tempted. Yet, writing about Jesus, consider these words from the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." Therefore, notice that temptation itself is not sin. It's giving in to the temptation that is sin. Jesus always resisted, never gave in to temptation, and so Jesus never sinned. Yet in the Bible, even some of the most mature believers nevertheless still allowed temptation to overwhelm them, and they all sinned. For example, Noah was guilty of drunkenness. Job was guilty of cursing. David was guilty of adultery, to name just a few. The great reformer Martin Luther stated, quote, "When I find myself assailed by temptation, I forthwith lay hold of some text of the Bible, which Jesus extends to me." End of quote. So we'll take Luther's wise advice and consider the text of Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, in which Jesus, our perfect example, battled the devil himself. Surely we can all learn from this to fight off temptation. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil." Led, that is, by the Holy Spirit. No one should think from this statement that God tempts anyone, much less his own Son. It is clearly revealed in the epistle of James chapter 1 and verse 13. "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." But isn't Jesus Christ God? Absolutely, he is God. but in his incarnation, the Son of God took on a dual or double nature. He is God-man. So in his humanity, Jesus was tempted, but he never sinned. So obviously God allowed Jesus in his humanity to be tempted. As in the case of Job, God uses even satanic tempting to serve his purposes to test us. As we shall note, Satan tempted Jesus in our text in three ways. The lust of the flesh in verses 2 and 3, the lust of pride in verses 5 and 6, and the lust of the eyes in verses 8 and 9. Regarding polling of Christians in America, in the United States, in the ranking of areas of the greatest spiritual challenge to sin, the ranking is as follows. Number one, the one area which causes the most to sin, according to the poll, is materialism. Secondly, pride. Thirdly, self-centeredness. Fourth, laziness. Fifth is a tie between anger and sexual lust. Sixth is envy. Seventh is gluttony. And eighth is lying. These are the major areas of sin, promptings toward sin by being sorely tempted. Probably all of us can relate to this listing as being vulnerable to these type sins. Verse 2, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Is that humanly possible? Yes. If one is very healthy, for example, Moses fasted 40 days, according to Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 9. And Elijah fasted the same length of time, according to 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 8. So the devil came to tempt Jesus when he was physically weakened. The devil tempted Jesus by attacking his flesh. He was hungry. Verse 3, the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." So how is this sin? It was the devil's scheme to get the Son of God to take orders from him and violate the plan of God in that Jesus was tempted to use his divine power to satisfy his fleshly need. Manifestly understand that Almighty God never takes orders from anyone, much less the devil. So Jesus answered, quoting Scripture. Verse 4, it is written, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God," quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. We should understand the context of Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3 was that God allowed Israel to hunger so that he might feed them with manna and teach them to trust him to provide for them. So Jesus used this passage as directly applicable to his circumstances being hungry in the desert. Of course, Jesus also points out that the Word of God is a more important source of sustenance than bread, for it nurtures our spiritual needs in a way that ultimately benefits us eternally, not just temporarily. The respondents to the polling of the greatest spiritual challenges unto temptation to sin also noted that temptations were most potent against them when they had neglected their time with God, 81% polled this way, or when they were physically and or mentally tired, 57% of those polled. They also responded as to what helped resist temptation. Fervency of prayer, 84%. Avoiding compromising circumstances, 76%. Bible study, 66%. Being accountable to someone else, 52%. these responses surely apply to us also. Nevertheless, the devil was not deterred and attacked Jesus next regarding pride. Verses 5 and 6. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. Notice that the devil knows and can quote Scripture, seemingly mocking Jesus. The devil can quote Scripture. However, as here, he utterly twisted its original meaning to suit his purposes. Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12 is a passage about trusting God, which the devil used to justify testing Jesus. Certainly not applicable to Psalm 91. Jesus therefore answered in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 7, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test,'" quoting Deuteronomy 6 and verse 16. Note, Jesus clearly affirms that he is the Lord your God. He uses another passage from Israel's desert experience, recalling at Massa, where the grumbling Israelites put the Lord to the test, angrily demanding that Moses produce water where there was none. Exodus chapter 17, verses 2 through 7. Again, the devil was not deterred. He had failed to tempt Jesus to sin regarding his fleshly needs, regarding his pride. So next, he tempted him regarding the lust of the eyes. Verses 8 and 9. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Note that the devil has great power and persuading temptations that many would readily accept. Satan is the prince of this world, according to the Gospel of John, chapter 12 and verse 31. The god of this age, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. The whole world lies in his power, according to the first epistle of John, chapter 5 and verse 19. Jesus, in his humanity, was tempted, but never budged a millimeter, not to satisfy his flesh, pride, nor the allurements that he could see. His answer, once again, was from the Israelites' desert experience, from which he cited and paraphrased. Verse 10, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13. Jesus, like the Israelites, was led into the desert to be tested. However, unlike the Israelites, Jesus withstood every attack of the devil's temptation testings. And note that when Jesus, the Son of God, stated, "Away from me, Satan," the devil had no recourse but to retreat, not to retire, but to slither away. Verse 11. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. And so, Psalm 91 and verse 11 was applicable on this point. "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways." But it was fulfilled in God's way, not the devil's way. Finally, Jesus ate and drank well after his long fast and was strengthened physically. We can never be perfect morally, ethically in this life. However, as born-again, Spirit-indwelt believers, we can strive to sin less and less, seeking to be more Christ-like in character. Every temptation can be an opportunity not to sin, and instead to draw closer to God by not sinning. Think of the following. A big truck traveling up a narrow two-lane mountain road. It seems every time there is a place to pass, a car is coming in the opposite direction. Finally, the time seems right to pass. We are almost ahead of the truck when an oncoming car appears. So we floor the accelerator, and a rush of reserved power moves the car quickly to safety. It is precisely this rush of reserve power that God has promised the Christian when temptation stalks us. Really? Consider 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. But we must take that way out that God provides, and pronto. A moral crash only occurs when we are on a blind curve that is out of the will of God and reject God's way out. God is never at fault.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Hear the invitation. Come who salvation for whosoever will.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the door is open wide. A place of honor is reserved for you at the Master's side. Give the invitation.
Invitation, come whosoever will, praise God for full salvation, for whosoever will.
We pray that you are a Christian walking in the ways of Jesus. If you're not a Christian, please understand that you must first believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We are also told from God's Word that believers repented of sins, confessed Jesus as Savior, and were baptized by immersion in water. If we can help you in your walk with Jesus, please contact us. You may have a free CD of this and last week's broadcast by asking for program number 2324. That's 2324. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.
Sing now.